crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run, 'cause we're some old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh.
One hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Why? Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. That's where you get to talk with the Wake Radio side and the Shaziz Radio side at the same time. It's a twofer. So anyway, I posted a few links over here in the chat room on the superchat.html. Been a whole lot of Tesla bashing going on these days out there in the so-called truther community. It never ceases to amaze me, some of the things that you'll hear. One of the videos I posted essentially asking the question, is Nikola Tesla a scientism priest? That one really got my goat. I not only thumbed the video down, but I unsubscribed the YouTuber that actually put the video out there. So I don't want to waste my time on ridiculousness. You know, technology out there, there are some communities, such as like Amish communities, that don't really go for all that technology. So maybe they're not connected to the power grid, they don't buy TVs and cell phones and computers, and some of them don't even drive regular cars. They just use horse and buggies to this very day. And to some extent, I'd say that's probably the best. Sometimes I think that maybe mankind just isn't ready for technology, because you see all the things that good innovations that came about, or discoveries that came about in the past. For example, you know, a little bit of coal or whatever like that. A little bit of coal by itself is not such a bad thing, but you smash that up and mix it with a few other deals, and guess what? You got some gunpowder, and then you can put that in casing with a projectile, and you can go around there and you can kill somebody. Well, simple enough, and as crazy as it may sound, you could kill somebody by knocking them upside the head with a chunk of coal anyway. So, you know, what's the point? You just got a little bit more fancier. Technology is only as responsible as the user. And so, with that said, there's another video that I posted in there asking the question whether or not Tesla was a hero or a menace. Which, so far, I haven't unsubscribed to that channel, because pretty much the delivery of his message wasn't nearly as aggravating to me at this point in the game. However, he talks about a whole lot about it, different frequencies and dangers, and, you know, like UV rays and X-rays and stuff like that, potential hazards. Every single material out there that we use for any purpose pretty much has hazards if they're misused or used improperly. You know, electricity, which everybody likes electricity because it keeps the fan on, it keeps the TV on, it keeps the computer on, and the lights, and, you know, it keeps electric pumps going for water from your water company down to your house. Got electric motor inside your washing machine so you don't have to turn it by hand, and it's got an electric water pump inside there that pumps the water in and out of the machine and such, so there are uses for electricity. But even electricity itself, if improperly used, can cause death and injury and fires and all kinds of stuff. So it isn't the knowledge itself, it's how you use the knowledge, whether or not it's going to be safe or beneficial. There's a lot of researchers out there. Ryan Abrams, I posted one of his videos in there. I'm not going to mention a whole lot about it. Just want you to go over and take a look at it and listen to what he's got to say. He doesn't call himself a scientist, but he does do a lot of really awesome research. And as far as I'm concerned, he's a better scientist than any of the mainstream guys out there. And so, you know, with that said, you know, he tries stuff, he tests it out, he gets things accomplished, and does a whole lot of really good in the alternative energy community. And moving on down the line down there, what else did I post in that doggone chat room? I reposted a little pod, or a little video from a clip from Bug's Life, and it talks about the grasshopper, talking about how, you know, it's just one little ant, you know. And they're all like, oh yeah, ants are puny or whatever, but then he turns around and dumps a whole bunch of the grain on them and says that the ants outnumber them 10 to 1, and so if they ever figure that out, they're in trouble. Well, so I reposted that because it's brilliant when you think about how many people on this planet as opposed to all the knuckleheads out there running amok and making a mess out of things. And with technology, knowledge is power. And these folks out there that are in charge, they got some access to some really amazing technology. And it's not all readily available for the general public to share in. It's just basically continuity of government. If you come out with a design and they feel like that this design could potentially disrupt the fuel industry or the auto industry or anything that has to do with the economy, then that could be classified as a threat to national security. Because if the economy crashes because you suddenly come out with free energy, then that's not something you want to, you don't want to happen. So a lot of projects and inventions get shelved that way. They get bought out or suppressed, or, you know, such as Stan Myers. He was driving a dune buggy in the 70s with running it on water. And that's not science fiction, that's science fact. They still, to this day, there's still doggone vehicles running on hydrogen technology. There's a military document out by 2016 or 2017, somewhere within the next year or so, they were talking about running Navy ships off of hydrogen technology. So essentially, big old giant electric motors being run off of, engines that are using hydrogen, or maybe a transfer system when the hydrogen and oxygen recombine and release electricity in the cell or whatever. However it comes about, they're still talking about running off of hydrogen technology. And the excuse for not having it out there in the mainstream is that, oh, hydrogen's too dangerous, or hydrogen can't be produced fast enough, or it's inefficient, or it's too expensive, so on, blah, blah. You know, the fear of the unknown is probably one of the biggest boat anchors to humanity that I can see out there. Misusing technologies and ideas and stuff like that, you know, that would probably be the second biggest boat anchor out there. Now, granted, with high frequencies and low frequencies, there are a lot of things that can be done, and there's a lot of side effects to certain frequency ranges. You know, it's obviously you don't want to stand in front of a microwave because your body is full of water and it has water's a dipole molecule, and so you'll fry your face just like you cook your food inside the microwave in front of a microwave. So common sense would dictate that's something you just like don't want to do. However, there's some people out there that are just so fearful of technology that they can find everything under the sun. Why not to do something? You know, there's materials out there that later on were found out to be harmful, and, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't proceed with caution towards, the future as far as when you put technology out there. But to come out and insinuate that a man like Nikola Tesla was either a hero or a menace, you know, this was a brilliant man. He came all the way from Serbia and came over here and benefited the world by, his research. And if he was slightly off believing in aliens or not believing in aliens, or if he thought possibilities were possible, then, you know, you're looking at just about every mad scientist out there, including myself, because I believe all kinds of things are possible. And so with that said, do you discard my research and call me a menace because I could potentially invent something that could possibly destroy all of mankind? Well, if that's the case, you need to go back in time and you need to shut the power off before it ever even started. You need to get the steam engines away, you know. You need to take everything that's all anything to do with technology, anything mechanical, anything electrical, all that stuff. You got to get rid of it because any one of these things could be misused. And I mentioned steam engines. Well, how are you going to misuse a steam engine, you crazy old shiziz? Well, let's think about this for a second. They got nuclear power plants that use highly refined radioactive rods that will heat up water to the boiling point, and if the temperature isn't controlled, then it will continue to boil the water until it pressurizes the container, and then you end up with an explosion, which can be hydrogen in nature. Why is that? That's because water is made of hydrogen and oxygen. So common sense dictates you don't want to get water too doggone hot inside a pressurized container, especially if you're going to be using radioactive material in order to heat the water, because some of that radioactivity could transfer to the water and then transfer to your face after the hydrogen explosion. So anyway, you know, there's a lot of technology available out there. And there's a lot of old ideas, there's a lot of new ideas, there's a lot of potential for humanity to literally to go to infinity and beyond. And what we're seeing here today is, it's like the brakes are on. We're not moving forward except for within the digital realm. We can get some really nice cameras and some flash drives that'll hold lots of information and you know, all kinds of cool nifty gizmos, but yet humanity's still fighting over oil. Humanity's still fighting over power, energy. You know, I gotta have power. I wanna be the government, you know, whatever. And the corporations out there, it's all about making the almighty dollar instead of trying to get things resolved in this world. Well, let's talk about if there's people in this world starving to death, then maybe you just go over there and feed them and it's done. They're not starving anymore. But how we got to where we are today with technology, if without that technology, it took a long time to get from point A to point B on horseback or by foot, even in covered wagons. You know, the normal trip that you could make in a day probably took a week back in them days. You gotta look at the miles per hour and the weight load that that poor horse is dragging along with you. And then that and the road conditions probably weren't that well back then either. So it's probably a little bumpy. But my point is, been a whole lot of Tesla bashing going on lately out there in the alternative community. And for every conspiracy out there, how he pretty much got screwed out of this and that, if you go back and read the history and you look at things that were occurring back in the day, and you could find out the man didn't get credit for everything that he did. He got credit for some, but for the work and the input that he put into society, he should have got much more credit. He died penniless in a doggone motel. You know, that's just about the way most researchers. He had a vision that if he could actually get free energy out through the world, that, you know, there wouldn't be no reason to fight over coal and oil. And if you think about it, think about how through history, been a lot of times when the coal miners got in a feud with the boss, and a lot of unions and all this guff that went on back in the day. You could imagine that if energy was free, then there wouldn't have been no need to be out there digging in the coal mine and getting black lung disease or any of that stuff. You know, you would already had it resolved. You didn't need it to heat your house or cook your food or get from point A to point B in a vehicle. But that was his thought. Maybe we can give the world free electricity and we can advance society to the extent where we're not out there shooting each other over resources. But guess what? There's still black markets for crude oil. There's still markets for coal. there's still markets and people out there, whether the economy is up or down, they're still selling oil. Crude oil's used in a lot of stuff. There's a lot of plastics, rubbers, and all kinds of things that you take for granted on a daily basis that come from that oil that comes up out of the ground. And so, they're gonna keep control over it, the folks at the top, because it brings them money. And anytime somebody tries to step on the toes of the elite and get something to the people that ain't gonna make the elite money, then that's what you get. You get wars. You get craziness. You get people fighting over information. When if it was shared freely amongst the land, there wouldn't be no reason for all this craziness. Excuse me. So, Thomas, are you still there?
No.
No. Where'd you go?
Man, I don't know. You know, something that really bothers me is how people keep going on about how Tesla died penniless in a motel room. But the fact is, he couldn't have been penniless until he was dead in being a motel room or a hotel room. Because, and it was actually a hotel room, like a
small
suite. Somebody
was paying for his hotel. At the very last, there was somebody paying for his hotel.
He must have been or had done something for them then.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I mean, what they came in and seized papers, right? They know about that, but nobody talks about what else they seized. Tesla didn't give a crap about money. He didn't care about it, so he spent most of his money on his inventions and his ideas and his research and his work. So his room was probably full of all kinds of stuff he was working on.
But the reason why,
which means
he was
that he wasn't
that?
Broke when he died, he just didn't have cash on hand because he had spent it as soon as he got it.
Well, let's just reiterate and say he wasn't wealthy. So, in the conventional sense of having a whole lot of gold in your pocket.
Right. Well, I mean, he had no kids either. So, I mean, who's he going to leave it to? You know? Do we even have a... Does anybody have any kind of... you know, like a list of bank statements or any of the, you know, anything to basically detail where his money went and what he had from one day to the next. I mean, the guy basically detailed all this stuff in his brain before he'd ever start committing it to even to paper, let alone physically building it. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he didn't calculate his money, including the money that whoever it was that was paying for his room. He probably, like I said, that was probably payments or something for something he did under the table, because he was tired of dealing with the patent office and tired of dealing with companies and businesses like, you know, the Edison ran and whatnot.
Don't forget the J.P. Morgan.
That he didn't maybe have it all calculated out to the last dollar, knowing exactly when he was going to die, you know?
Well, the point in the whole matter is the fact that he didn't, like you said, he didn't care about money. He was trying to do something to, you know, further mankind, to further humanity.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's what a lot of researchers out there are doing. But I'm watching a trend going through the alternative energy community where people are literally starting to try to, you know, say...
You're just now watching a trend?
Well, yeah, I've been seeing...
Is this your first trend?
I'm going to start a trend. I'm going to get me some really crazy looking clothes from the 70s and get everybody else interested so they all wear
them. Yeah, you ain't going to start a trend. You're going to get shot. You're going to start dressing like the 70s. Don't you dare bring those bell bottoms back around here, especially the ones made out of nylon or polyester. God.
But anyway, I'm starting to see a lot more the whole Tesla bashing, you know, because a lot of folks say, you know, they don't get it. Yeah, free energy. What the heck does it mean anyway? Free energy. You know, I get argued with it every day that I talk about free energy, because, you know, ain't nothing in this world free. You got to do something to get something.
That's
is what
why
I
a
say.
Lot of people won't call it free energy. They'll call it alternative energy.
I don't care what they want to
call
it.
Because the mainstream energy is, you know, gas and coal.
Yeah. But the reality of the deal is, I didn't get no bill from the sunlight. I didn't get no bill from the moon. Now keep in mind that
you don't get a bill from the earth either.
Yeah.
But they still charge for gas.
Sure they do. But that's the thing, man. In reality, everything that we need has been supplied for us. And, you know, the electrical universe, that was another thing. I posted a video in there that Ryan did. And
Do you know why you haven't gotten a bill from the sun yet?
Why?
Because nobody's ever been able to come up with a substance they can build a flag that they can plant on the sun and claim it as theirs.
Well, so that's something maybe we should do then. We could, like, claim the sun and charge everybody royalties to use it. Oh, look, that 10 cost you $50.
Well, you come up with that kind of technology, you probably got the technology to move the sun, and you say, you know what? We decided we're leaving. Oh, and we're taking the sun. Bye.
Oh. Man, that's cold.
Literally.
Yeah. So... I guess, you know, I sometimes ask myself, is humanity ready for certain types of technology? And I'm like on a teeter-totter it's a back and forth, because I think that mankind's always ready for new technology. But is mankind ready for the responsibility of new technology? I mean,
well, that doesn't sound like they're ready for it. Then it sounds like what you're saying, what you're asking is, or you're stating that mankind's always hungry for new technology. That doesn't mean that they basically actually will know how to chew and swallow it without choking on it.
My example of gunpowder, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's like you mix these few chemicals together, and now you got something that.
Some sulfur, some charcoal, some saltpeter in the right quantities and the right process to keep it from blowing up or catching on fire and burning up on you. And you can blast a stump out of your yard.
Yep.
A little bit of paper, maybe some electrical tape, and you can do some mining.
Well, see, you know? That's, you know, used properly and in a safe manner. Stephen Gibbons posted in there, it was Westinghouse that was paying for his hotel. Yeah, because of the electric motor that Patton, I believe it was, that he sold Westinghouse.
There you go, man.
All right, well, either way, as far as...
So he wasn't broke, he was living literally paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, well, I'm saying broke is in pretty much the same sense we're broke. We're not filthy, stinking rich, we're not poor either, but... Anyway.
Now, he didn't die under a bridge.
Yeah.
From, you know, somebody stabbed him over the last bottle of liquor that he just managed to bum or something like that. Because there's researchers out there that, you know, have given the world probably as much as Tesla that died like that, you know, in some nasty, you know, third world conditions compared to what we have now, because, you know, the stuff they gave to us before we even, you know, before America was even, you know, established.
Well, I guess what I'm saying then is that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that just the scales of what they were of their contribution as opposed to what society had given them back is kind of what I'm trying to say.
Well, you were paying attention to people who are trying to drag you down. You're holding your hand out to somebody who's trying to pull you over a cliff.
Yeah.
By paying attention to these people. It's real easy for somebody to knock somebody else for not doing something, because it doesn't require them doing anything other than uttering a breath. You know?
Yeah.
I got no time to listen to somebody who has got something negative to say about somebody else's accomplishments if they don't have any accomplishments of their own that they can use as a method of knocking those off.
Yeah, like...
Because not knocking one idea off with another idea is evolution. Like, that's evolution of technology. But knocking somebody's ideas off with nothing but complaints and naysaying, that's actually de-evolution.
Like the trolls on YouTube that'll come and bash your video, and then you go to their channel and they ain't got one single video?
Exactly. So, and probably have nothing going on in life either.
That's why
they just got tired of getting killed in whatever, you know, little first person, you know, online shooter or whatever, and decided they'd go and take it out on some people they don't know by, you know, talking crap to them, knowing that they're going to get a reaction to upset the person. So then they feel better about themselves, you know.
Two Dog mentioned in there that the Amish are doing better than anyone. And he's right, man. Literally, these guys and gals, they live in their own world. They got their own system of government and their own rules and stuff like that. And they've been thriving all these years.
It depends on which community you're talking about, because they've arrested Amish people for selling whole milk to each other.
Well, yeah. Anytime you get our system of government interacting with theirs, they don't fare so well, that's for sure.
Nope.
But, look, this, as far as technology out there, and that little clip from The Bug's Life that Stephen Gibbons posted, I just reposted it in there because I thought it was brilliant, when it talks about, let me just go ahead and play it live right here, let's see if I can do this without making a mess. Probably get a commercial first. Let's keep an eye out.
There was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay?
Huh. Did you hear that, Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a lot of truth in that?
Pretty much.
Well, that's one of the things that I think that I really honestly believe that there are paid aggravators that go out there on YouTube and social media networks just to start trouble. Because if you're the government and you start hearing all the ants talking and know that, you know, they outnumber you 100 to 1 or whatever, you know, there's certain things that you can't keep continuity of government if you got 320 million people all ticked off at you. It's kind of hard to do. They don't call it destabilization of nations for nothing. But technology out there, I mean, there's a lot of pros and cons about everything. There's potential hazards by not paying attention to certain things. And some of us out there doing alternative energy research are willing to take certain risks in order to test certain things and see if they work or not, and if there's any side effects. That's what research is all about, you know, all in the name of science or whatever. But to go out and just demonize somebody because, you know, like the whole crack about Tesla being a priest of Scientology, that was just ridiculous, man. That was uncalled for. Man did a lot of stuff that everybody takes for granted, and even the computer that was used to make the stupid video, it had Tesla technology in it. Without that man's research, without his travels from Serbia over here, and all his trials and tribulations throughout his lifetime, we wouldn't have had that technology. We might have got it sometime later on in the future when somebody else discovered certain things. You know, there were guys like Marconi out there working on wireless telegraph and stuff like that. And, you know, eventually somebody might have stumbled onto it. But he kind of sped the process up and gave everybody a whole bunch of stuff to think about and ideas. Enough so that the government was interested in his inventions. You know, so after he died, they rolled right on in there to get everything they could out of that deal. And of course, if you figure out that there's a chance that you could build a weapon, weaponized lightning gun or microwave gun, yeah, the military would be interested in that because they wouldn't want some other foreign government to get in it first. So there was a lot of spy versus spy going on behind the scenes just for that technology. And every time technology comes out, you think that they don't listen to the Mad Science Show and my YouTube channel to see what I'm talking about? You know, maybe I ain't got nothing that they're interested in, but maybe I might stumble onto something that they might need to know about so that they can either decide whether to send the men in black to tell me to shut it up or shut it down.
Or shut it down, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the whole deal, man. There isn't a federal, what's it, doggone it, for the radios. SEC, Federal Communications Commission. There isn't one of those for nothing. There's a reason behind that. You know, there's certain frequencies that they don't want you to listen to, and so in order to be on certain frequencies, you've got to have a certain license. Otherwise, just mere possession of certain equipment, you could get yourself into some real big trouble. And the first time you decide to key down on a microphone that has a police band frequency on there and they track you down to your house, well, guess what? Now you're not in your house, but you're in the dog house. So that's how they control stuff like that, man. And there are frequency ranges out there that will interfere with other radio frequencies. It's the stronger field that's usually going to win out. But that doesn't mean that that technology, you know, isn't good technology. There's a lot of fear out there about radio frequencies and, you know, people getting brain tumors from their phones and stuff like that, you know, which, hey, one day the research will be in and one day they'll realize that maybe just by putting a little bit of shielding in the right place, they avoided this whole deal to begin with. Or maybe they find the right range that they can safely use. But, you know, just because somebody could have fell off the train doesn't mean they shouldn't have made the train. What do you think?
I'll say if we start banning whatever people die from doing, you're going to have to go all the way back to even poking holes in the ground and hunting in the woods with a stick.
Yep.
Which means that there's nothing you can do. If you ban everything that literally people have died from, then the only thing you have left that you can do is to lay down and die. So that means banning everything that people die from guarantees everybody dies. So we need to start a campaign, ban banning in 2016.
Yeah, I agree with that. suggest that they get rid of the suggestion box. Yeah, because, man, look, after every single war, you know, there would be like whole entire groups of people going out planting all kinds of bombs in the ground, you know, landmines. But after the war, they don't always get them all. That's been proven in many countries. Landmines are like all over the place. Years later, somebody steps on a doggone live landmine and blows their leg off or worse. So that's technology that shouldn't have been ever used. That's technology that, in my opinion, was used irresponsibly because you didn't keep track of every single one, like a map exactly where it's at, and go get rid of it whenever you're done with it, that kind of thing. So, you know, think about some of these military tactics, shooting depleted uranium around all over the place. I don't know. What's the health benefits in the future of depleted uranium? I have no idea. So, what you thinking about, man?
I just noticed that one of my friends looks like a young version of Albert Einstein.
Cool. Got the hair and everything?
Huh?
Got the hair and everything?
He used to. I guess he got tired of teased for having crazy looking hair.
Yeah, comb your hair, man.
No, comb your hair.
I'm a rebel. I ain't combing my hair. Anyway, I might comb it if I'm going to a wedding or. But if I'm in the Mad Science laboratory, I gotta be like that movie Young Frankenstein with Gene Wilder's. Life, give my creation life. It makes it more dramatic, man, when the hair's all fried out like you've really been pulling your hair off trying to get this invention going or whatever. Anyway, you can't knock every doggone idea or every researcher out there just because you disagree or think there's a possibility somebody could get hurt out there. Now, common sense is common sense. You know, when the atomic bomb come around and they talked about how powerful the atomic bomb actually was, you know there's going to be ramifications if you ever use that doggone thing. And in a bad way. So, that's common sense. And with boiling water with radioactive material, common sense dictates if some of that old 1800s or prior steam technology gets overpressurized or a gasket fails, that you could end up with a potential problem. You know, building nuclear reactors anywhere near a fault line, that could be a potential hazard. If you got any potential of an earthquake, then you might not want to put something like your storage facility for your nitroglycerin in glass jars near that area. You know, temperature of old... did you know that the old gunpowder had the potential to literally heat up sweat, and heat up and sweat, and then turn around and make nitroglycerin that could become unstable, and all you had to do is so much as bump it?
Actually, I lost some friends who went back to a mine shaft that we found something like that and tried to drag it back across the desert.
Oh, man.
If I hadn't put my foot down while we were there, they'd have been trying to drag it back while I was with them, getting me to help them.
And so it destabilized when they started dragging it off, right? And temperature difference or whatever. But that's the thing, man. You know, you gotta do research. I understand you gotta be safe about it. But they're still, you know, learning all these older technologies and newer ones and. You know, I call them anomalies. Every time somebody builds a device and it does something, you know, that's out of the ordinary, you know, something that science might have said wasn't possible or whatever. I'm interested in those anomalies. Those are what makes it work. And I still, to this day, hold firm that we have every single answer to literally solve the whole so-called energy crisis out there in the world. I mean, we can get energy from all different kinds of stuff. It's not that we're creating anything as far as the energy. We're just creating the devices to either destabilize nature long enough for nature to bounce back and get work done in the process, or as the wind's blowing by, we're grabbing some of that energy and using it, you know, because us, as opposed to nature, we're tiny. We're almost like insignificant. 300 mile an hour wind just wipe you off the map. So why ain't we tapping into that kind of stuff? You know, if there's really terrible weather on one side, you put some really powerful turbines over there and let the wind turn them, or the hydroelectric dams that have been built throughout history, or any of these deals right here. They're not destroying nature. They're just using what nature's already provided and producing electricity. And even electricity in itself, it might be time for electricity to take the next advancement, because, you know, you're running this stuff at 60 hertz, at a, you know, anywhere from 220 volts to 120 volts, whatever. But electricity can be dangerous if you ain't paying attention to what's going on. But what if you get down to what electricity actually is, you know, like, you know, magnetism and electricity, why they are working hand in hand with one another, so to speak. So you get down to what is the actual mechanics of what's going on when electric current is flowing and the magnetic fields are being created. There's a potential to find out that maybe you don't have to have it running as high as you do in order to get this doggone work done that you want done. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that electricity's bad, but it's kind of like anything else, sugar, salt, or even water for that matter. You know, you take any of those internally too much and they're not good for you. But if we could actually get the researchers down to the point where we actually find out at what point does this actually start turning this rotor, you know, there's a start. There's a starting place where now you're not pumping a whole 60 hertz worth of, you know, energy pulses through this gizmo in order to get it run, because you don't need to. You could back it off and only use what you absolutely need to get the work done, which in any common sense arena would tell you that less is more than likely going to be safer. You think I'm wrong there or what? No? Yeah?
Is this bus time?
Yeah, this is under the bus time.
Get under there.
Well, radioactive material. That if you take a little tiny piece of americium, mm-hmm. and you got it inside of a smoke detector, and as it's depleting, it's sending a signal to a detector diode on the opposite side. And so, as long as that circuitry on the other side registers a certain amount of voltage going on, then your smoke detector is off. But the moment anything gets in between that slows down that voltage going across to the other side, then that tells the smoke detector or the carbon monoxide detector that something is wrong and sets off the alarm. So, in small quantities, it's totally harmless to you, and it gets something done. There's a function that it's good for. In massive quantities, it's obvious you wouldn't want to stand next to probably a Volkswagen-sized chunk of americium with your face planted to it. You might get a tumor. I don't know. All I'm saying is that you know, these folks out there that are afraid of technology need to understand it before they fear it. It's as simple as that, man. I mean, a stick could be a good tool or it can be a weapon. It's that simple. And it depends on in whose hands that it gets in. So, are we going to halt all future research on the off chance that some government might use it inappropriately? Maybe we should be educating the folks that go to our government before they get to our government. Maybe we should be paying attention. Maybe we should be eternally vigilant, like Thomas Jefferson said. But I want to see us at one point in time, sometime in the future or something, be able to give everybody everything that they need. Food, shelter, clothes, medicine, whatever. And I believe that we have the technology to do so. There are folks out there who are going to misuse everything. You can build a building with rocks, you know. You can kill somebody with a rock. You can build the building improperly and it'll fall in on somebody.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. And I'm not trying to be a jerk to the folks out there in the alternative community that's questioning, you know, maybe we shouldn't or whether we should or anything. But what I'm saying is, everything, even the words coming out of your mouth, have some common sense to them, because you start telling people, oh, well, old Tesla, all he was the high priest of Scientology. Man, are you serious?
Wow.
Come on, man. The guy, he did a lot of research, and maybe he did have his own quirks. Maybe he was a germaphobe. Maybe he believed that aliens from outer space were possible. Maybe they are, you know. But if I was an alien from outer space and I look down at this society down here, what the heck would I want to waste my time talking to y'all knuckleheads for? You're too busy shooting each other and watching Dancing with the Stars, playing Pokemon Go and falling off cliffs. If I was an alien, I'd be like, let's go to the next planet. These guys ain't ready for us yet. That's all I'm saying. That's pretty rude, wasn't it? But reality is that, you know. it's like back in the day, you know, I watched a couple of different Slider episodes where they go down in these different worlds where technology was banned and they were fearful of technology, but ironically enough, they were throwing people into a nuclear reactor because they got caught with technology, which is kind of messed up. Don't suppose you ever saw that episode, did you?
Mm-mm. What now?
That Sliders episode where they had banned technology.
Yeah, I haven't watched all of them. The only one that keeps coming to mind is that one where there's like a shortage of men in the reality they end up in, and the old guy is saying, "Man, you use science, you can remove the fun from anything."
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, man. But you know, in certain societies, if you was to show them a flashlight, you know, they would think you were a wizard or a witch and try to burn you at the stake. Hadn't we got past all that yet? No, we got like critical thinkers out there that could see that there could be some beneficial in some of these technologies. In the older days, they used to have what they called quackery devices, Dr. Quackery. They'd have like these high voltage deals that would put out ozone and stuff, and you know, they'd use them to cure certain things or treat certain things, whatever. But then you go back and you actually do some research on some of the things that were talked about by these quackeries. They weren't far off base. You know, Raymond Rife is the one to look up. But, you know, look at the doggone some of the Star Trek movies. Like Deep Space Nine and all of them Star Trek movies. All of them. Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever. In the future, they got this nifty device that they can wave over your arm and pretty much heal your bones, speed your bone growth up or something like that. So, wouldn't that be cool to have around? You break your leg and then you go into the bathroom at the medicine cabinet and put your leg underneath this gizmo and it causes the bone to fuse itself back properly?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how that's being done. They've talked about using electricity and electrodes to basically weld the material back together by electrocuting, you know, the same way you do welding two pieces of steel.
Well, I'm not saying go in there and stand on a steel plate grounded to the earth and then reach over and grab a hold of the breaker box or anything like that. That's not smart. I'm talking about futuristic technology where, like, as long as the bone is set properly, that you can literally run it over there in the right frequency range and get the bone sped up to fuse itself back so your arm's no longer broke. It's mended. That kind
right.
of stuff. You know, that's what they show in Star Trek and stuff. I can't even remember the doggone... What's the newest version of Star Trek out there?
I think that J.J. Abrams stuff, unless, you know, you're a hardcore Star Trek fan, then you're probably denying that anything that guy put out even exists.
Well,
William Shatner's not playing Captain Kirk anymore.
Yeah. The one with Picard in it's the one I was talking about.
No, you're thinking of The Next Generation.
Yeah.
That's many, many... TV series from the last, so.
Well, either way.
Well, it's not many, but it's like three. You know, you got, after that one came out, then you had Deep Space Nine, and then Voyager, and then they had Enterprise, which was a prequel.
Anyway, basically what I'm saying is the new future technology that allowed you to, you know, beam up from the ground up to the ship, or you know, basically heal you or diagnose the sickness or all this kind of stuff. See, those advancements that I'm talking about would be beneficial to humanity, all the, you know, newer discoveries. So a lot of these older discoveries, I mean, something as simple as mold turned into penicillin. You see what I mean?
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about. And so you know, I don't want to kick technology to curb, but at the same sense, I got to balance out the scales of justice. If somebody's out there cracking on Tesla, it really gets on my nerves because he did a lot of good for the world. You know, I don't care if he had wild hair, you know. I don't care if he was a germ freak or he believed in aliens or not. You got to admit, the man was brilliant. He did a lot of cool stuff. You know, but he definitely wasn't the leading priest of Scientology. Oh, man. You know what?
Scientology wasn't even around back then, was it?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's what I'm thinking.
But either way, you know.
It was a religion made by a guy who said, you know, I could make more money making a religion and writing my own Bible than I can writing science fiction.
John LeBond is the guy that made the video, and at one point he was a flat earther, and then he was not a flat earther. And so they went kind of back and forth. And so if you actually go back and listen to his videos all the way back, he talked about the flat earth and all the reasons why he believed the earth was flat. And then he came back around and said that there's certain things that he found out that since made him change his mind. And now, you know, whatever. Does space exist? Does not? Is space fake or not or whatever? Look. My advice to anybody out there, if you're not sure about space and you really want to find out about space, then work towards that goal. Actually, try to go to space. Build your rocket ship, you know. It's going to take a lot of research and a lot of resources.
Yeah, if you want to say there's no space or there's a dome over us or the world's flat, show me the data.
Yeah, do something. I mean, I even mentioned one time, they were talking about this one video model rocket that went up and supposedly ran into something. You could hear it bink as it hit something and starts falling back down. So I was saying, okay, well, if there's a dome up there, this is simple to solve. All you need to do, there's a couple different ways you could do it, like maybe hook a spray can nozzle up to it. That way when it smashes into the dome, it'll spray a big blotch up there. And or maybe those bingo daubers, put one of those on the top of the rocket so that if it flies up there and you know, Mars up the ceiling, then how are you going to deny that? You got video of it.
That right.
You just put a mark up there. Of course, now probably some secret society to come along and get you for vandalizing the dome. But where there's a will, there's a way, man. That's what I'm saying. Throw a paintball up there. Get you some sort of paintball gun. Mount it to a doggone model rocket. Blast it up there. And when it runs into something, it hits the trigger and unleashes a flurry of buckshot of paintballs up against the dome. But if you're going to... basically what I'm saying is try it before you deny it. I don't know. I haven't been to space. You know, I couldn't tell you. Is Mars real? Is it not real? I have questions about Pluto because the technology...
Mars is real. I just got one of them the other day down at the store, man.
The candy bar? I have questions about Pluto because I'm in the alternative energy community, and I see that I have questions on how they accomplished such a fantastic goal. I mean, you got to admit, if they went to Pluto and they took a picture of Pluto and they sent that picture all the way back, that was an amazing feat. And I'm really seriously interested in the technology that made it possible and why it is that we're not using that same technology here on the ground. Now, you could come out and say, well, you know, because plutonium is radioactive and it's got to be regulated because somebody might make a garage nuke and blow up the city or something like that.
Now, you can't have unregulated plutonium wandering around unless it's in the hands of ISIS after Hillary gave it to them.
Yeah. So, the average Joe can't have it. You might glow in the dark. You know, we can't have everybody running around glowing in the dark. All I'm saying is they went all the way to Pluto, so far away that they say that the sunlight is so weak out there that you can only generate enough power using solar panels, to light a 2-watt light bulb, which in that terms is not enough to send a signal all the way back from there. So if you look back from Pluto and saw the sun, it looked like a dot in the sky. But they built a thermal reactor that traveled 9 years through space, and when it finally made its destination, was producing over 200 watts of voltage that in turn run the equipment, took the pictures, and sent it back with one amazing radio system. I mean, because my cell phone, if I ain't next to a tower somewhere, I ain't getting signal. A lot of walkie-talkies and CB radios without amplifiers, they don't get out very far. And even in the ham radio community, you got to have a repeater to bounce it to another repeater to keep sending it out yet even farther. So, with that said...
What about AM?
Well, there you go. AM would be interrupted by static, anything. You back in the old days, if you drove underneath a neon sign... or a light bulb or any power line, your AM radio would drop off. It'd go right during your favorite song, man. You might be listening to the Beatles or whatever, the Bee Gees or something.
I told you about that 70s thing, man.
Of course they
let that dog die.
We tried when disco
with his polyester
door.
Wig.
When disco come through the front door dancing, we shipped it right back out the back door. It was a short, painful point in history, but thank good Lord it didn't last long. So, Stephen Gibbons posted a message into the Shaziz side of the Super Chat room. He said, using frequencies to heal disease is not new. Buddhist monks used to chant Aborigines, I almost said that wrong, use the, I can't even pronounce it, Diridoo, is that it? Didgeridoo. And Royal Rife created a frequency microscope in the 1930s using its discovered the frequency that would destroy a disease or virus without affecting the healthy cells around it. And I agree. I just can't say didgeridoo very easy. So, there's technologies out there. There's uses for all these technologies. We're on, as far as I'm concerned, right now we're living in the golden age, man. Golden age of technology and knowledge. We're standing at a crossroads trying to decide which way to go, and you got somebody over there saying, oh, well, you don't want to go down that road because you might make your hair fall out, or somebody might jump in the bathtub with that electrical hair dryer, you know? So maybe we ought to label it, could be dangerous and such, you know? Come on, man. First time they designed a wheel, I wonder if there was some guy over there talking about how that must be like some sort of wizardry or something like that. You know, or you could possibly run over somebody's foot, so maybe you should
It
do
just
that.
Took an extra 10 years for it to get off the ground because they had to take some time to figure out what color to make it.
Yeah. And whether or not to put rubber on it or just leave it as a...
Oh, no, they hadn't advanced the technology that far yet. They were too busy arguing over what color it was going to be and, you know, what brand name they were going to use on it.
Yeah, what kind of grease or... what kind of shellac to stain it with. And, you know, there's so many environmentalists back in the 1800s that they were always... Oh, man. It's almost funny enough to laugh about. It's just frustrating for me because I see... You know, I like sci-fi movies, all right? And I like watching people go into space and find new worlds and, you know, the excitement of, you know, what's new on this world or whatever. And I would love to one day stand on Mars. If Mars is really there, I'd like to stand there. I'd like to check it out, man. I'd like to do it safely. I mean, I don't want some sort of, face-eating lizard creature or slug to, like, suck my brain.
Oh, I thought you were talking about not wanting to strap one of those Chinese firecracker rockets to your back to get there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like the guy that built the doggone chair that had the rockets on it. So he could go to the
I think you're confusing two things unless you're talking about something I haven't heard of.
No, there was a video I saw quite some time back where this Chinese emperor put a whole bunch of rockets on a throne so that he could try to go to the moon.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything about that, man.
Needless to say, he didn't fare so well.
No, the two things I thought you were talking about was the guy that got the jet engine and strapped it to the top of his car, and the guy that strapped the weather balloons to a lawn chair and ended up floating around in the air. They were having trouble getting to him because the helicopter blade, wind from the helicopter blade lifting it up was blowing him away.
Oh, well, that sounds like about the same kind of scenario, though. I mean, I think actually
first one won a Darwin Award because he actually died from that, and the second one was a what do they call it? He was a runner up or in training, I guess, because he almost died, but he didn't quite remove himself from the gene pool.
It was either MythBusters or a show like MythBusters who did a deal to see if rockets strapped to a chair could actually lift a person.
But they used a dummy.
Yeah, they used a dummy.
Yeah.
That one guy that the crash test dummy that they got.
Yeah.
Bad to be him, man. That dude's like, he goes through heck. But anyway, there's always going to be somebody going to do that. You know, crazy.
Funnest job in the world if you don't have nerves.
Well, back in the infancy stage, let's just say, that NASA was supposedly in the 60s and in the late 60s whenever they finally went to the moon, like I guess it was 69, right? But they used to put the astronauts through some really brutal training to see what they could stand and what they couldn't stand. And they actually used animals to test certain things to see, what they could stand and what they couldn't stand.
Right.
So there was a lot of crazy on all different sides. Whether the guy, the backyard inventor who thought he could, hook his lawn chair to helium balloons and go for a ride. Or the science guy spinning the astronaut around. It's it was like a 9 G's or something like that. Guys, you can see the guy
spinning around in a chair so fast he didn't even have a chance to throw up. He just ended up passing out.
Yeah. So you
found out they could kill a person by spinning around fast enough because it stopped the blood from being able to flow to their brain or something, or cause all the blood to flow to their brain or something like that.
Cool. Stephen Gibbons found a link. It was Emperor Wan Hu. He's got a video link in there, I guess. It might be a picture link. I don't know. I have to click my mouse on there so it is a picture or a video. Let me see. Yeah, it's a picture.
Don't click the link. Oh.
Emperor Wan Hu. Hooking rockets to his deal so he could go to the moon and the stars. Alright, so, well, maybe he didn't fare so well. But that don't mean that we can't still use gunpowder and have 4th of July, does it? We gotta ban all that?
Actually, depending on where you live, no, you don't get to do that.
Doggone it.
Yeah, some places it's illegal year-round. You can't even use them during the 4th of July, let alone whenever it's not the 4th of July.
Well, it's understandable.
Get the cross scrutinization. You got to show up with like an out-of-state driver's license to be allowed to buy from the fireworks stand. We're not going to light these here. We're going to take them out of state. We're going to take them back to our state.
It's understandable if you're living in a community that all has wood-shaped shingles, or in a drought-ridden community where all the grass is bone dry, that you might not want to be shooting off fireworks. Or even next to a fuel refinery. If you're next to the gas station, probably having that Roman candle shootout probably isn't a good idea. See, we don't have an energy crisis, we have a common sense crisis. Like that dude that I mentioned on one of the deals there, where he literally put on a set of goggles and shot himself in the face with a Roman candle.
Yeah, I told you about that.
Yeah.
And then had the audacity to say, I didn't know it hurt that bad.
Yeah. I don't know what disturbed me the most was the fact that this man was ignorant enough to do that, or that his friends, so-called
egged
friends,
him on, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, go.
He could have been killed or something, you know? Lost an eye. We don't even know. He might not have made it. He might have got some crazy infection after the burns on his face. But either way, my gosh. That shows a total lack of stupidity and or common sense.
If he died from that, I can guarantee you he's going to end up getting a Darwin Award.
Oh, yeah. He's proof of evolution, that's for sure. And I tell you what, man. You know, I'm starting to wonder that maybe there was two things happening at the same time. The creation happened and evolution happened at the same time. Because I can tell you for one thing, I ain't no monkey. Maybe my hair could look that way at times, but I ain't no monkey. Alright? And I wouldn't give a monkey a gun. Really. Did you ever see that old Tarzan movie where the monkey got a hold of the gun? Or even...
Actually, there's videos of guerrilla warfare people, guerrilla warriors, basically screwing around over in Africa, and they decided to hand an M16 or an AK to a chimp, and the chimp turned around and shot him.
See? There's an old Gilligan's Island one deal where Gilligan finds this deal of plastic explosives, and they make a bunch of dishes out of it, right?
These are guys that are basically rounding up other people's kids and forcing them to join their military and whatnot. So, you know, I say the monkey was probably on something. If he'd not turned it on them, maybe he would have ended up with him and his family being forced to go and get shot by people being used in their little war.
Yeah, well, maybe the monkey had enough common sense to know, hey, you're a dirtbag and you gave me this gun. Thanks, I'll use it.
Yeah, I'll shoot the real enemy.
So, you know, either way, that Gilligan's Island one, the doggone monkey, he's got these dishes that are made out of plastic explosives that Gilligan found, and they made dishes out of them because they thought it was like clay or something, whatever. So now this monkey's running around throwing these dishes and blowing stuff up. Either way, don't give the monkey plastic explosives or dynamite or gun or hazardous stuff like that. It's not very wise. You still there?
Nope.
All right. Well, I just moved something and something fell over, so I got to readjust something before something falls down and messes everything up. There.
Some of those, another one of them, and
yeah, a
couple of these.
So the doohickey doesn't get messed up by the gizmo. There. Alright. That's good for live radio. Dropping stuff. So anyway, that's it, man. I don't know. We gotta get some doggone common sense to this world. I don't know if that we're ready to go flying to space, to boldly go where no man has gone before, because what are we going to do when we get there? And start trashing things and protesting? I got a feeling if there is aliens...
Well, we've seen those pictures of the crop circles and whatnot, but, you know, what do we see up on Mars where we basically drop the lander?
Well, it depends on who you ask. Because...
Yeah, what do you mean it depends on who you ask? Everybody agrees that those tracks running around from the little rover we put up there look like crap.
Yeah.
It looks like a little kid with dyslexia or something, or, you know, on hallucinogens or something. There ain't nothing artistic about that.
Nope.
It looks absolutely awful. Just making a mess.
So, maybe Mars, maybe it has its own ecology or whatever. And maybe those tracks just messed it all up. Set it back thousands of years. Excuse me, my coffee went down the wrong lung. Ugh, I hate it when that happens.
What are those, there was some, like, Greenpeace protesters or something that went and they destroyed these ancient artifacts, not really monuments, but, like, they were, you know, there were, like, paths and rocks that were laid out to where they formed pictures that you could only see from the air.
Yeah.
From basically an aerial position that, as far as we know, there's no way they could have known what they would look like from that distance, because they couldn't get up there.
Yeah.
Yet somehow they were able to lay it out and make those images out. And here these people went and just totally destroyed it, walking all over the place, tearing all that stuff up in the middle of the night.
Let's see, what kind of craziness is that all about? Why would they want to do that?
It's not that they wanted to. They were just too stupid to not realize they were destroying something important, you know? No, nobody's important but them in their mind until they get a fine slapped on them. Then they stand around and boo-hoo about how, oh, I didn't do nothing wrong. Why are you always trying to harm me?
Huh. Well, there you go, man. There's common sense at its finest. Go out and protest, save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign. You look really intelligent, man.
Go out and protest ancient Egypt by spray painting on a sarcophagi.
Yeah. Sarcophagi?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't remember who it was or what I was watching, but somebody called it an esophagus.
All right, well, I don't want to argue over terminology. I just want to try to get some common sense going on in this world. And right now it seems like in the alternative community and even in the truther versions of the community that a lot of craziness gets said. I don't know whether or not a lot of these folks are, you know, they got the terminology shills and trolls. It's counterproductive, man. How are we ever going to advance to go where Star Trek and all them get to go, you know, to be able to go into deep space and stuff?
I'll tell you who's not going to advance there. People who keep talking about what other people are talking about instead of doing something themselves.
Yeah, like, who would that be?
I don't know.
Well,
who we know is talking about something somebody else is talking about.
There's always going to be a mad science show, man.
Where's the science?
It's all over the place.
No.
Man, if it was on the back of your neck, you would have done chewed you in half.
I don't know, man.
Tell me that.
I have long since stopped considering gossip to be science.
It's what you do with it, man. We got...
With gossip?
No, the science. Doggone it, I'm not going to be afraid of plasma technology because some moron tells me I'm generating X-rays or UV rays and I'm going to have a sunburn.
Oh, come on now,
cancer.
Don't tell me you're not afraid. Yeah, you're. I think that's the thing is that you're confusing that there. These people are literally refusing to have anything to do with it. You're just careful with it.
Yeah.
There's basically being afraid of something and showing it some respect and being paralyzed with fear.
Well, I'm not going to, like, not look at it because I'm afraid of it, so I'm going to use caution.
Exactly. You're going to use the technology safely and use every means at your disposal to protect yourself.
But see, that's...
While you're trying to learn from it.
That's where the whole other portion comes into the doggone mad science. You can't listen to these knuckleheads out there trying to tell you everything's freaking dangerous. Sure, asbestos was found out to be not good for you, all right? And so they stopped using asbestos. Lead, We still use lead. People got lead on their automobiles to balance out the tires.
Well, they've phased that out too, though. You won't find new ones being applied unless they're behind the times, and they could actually get fined and arrested for putting that out. They use bismuth and tin and zinc and other things like that now.
Well, that's cool. Now
which all have their own problems, but they're nowhere near as bad as lead.
Well, now we know we got a source for bismuth and tin.
Right.
So there's a plus.
So.
All right, but either way, once they found out that lead had its drawbacks and mercury had its drawbacks, even mercury to this very day has its uses. All right, if used properly in a safe manner to inside something that isn't that doesn't have the potential to be broken, you know. You obviously don't want to be breathing in mercury vapors. It's not good for you.
Or flying in an airplane and accidentally dump a canister of it out inside the place, even a little container.
Yeah.
Because it'll basically dissolve the aluminum in the structure and destroy the plane.
Well.
You get a real rude awakening when you hit the ground.
Not if you do like they do in the cartoons.
Oh, I pull the air brake right before it hits the ground?
Yeah, or either that or step out before it hits the ground. Hey, that's what they said on TV, man. All you gotta do is wait for it to get close to the ground and jump out.
All you gotta do is believe everything you see on TV.
My point exactly, man. So, while you're out there watching YouTube channels, use the knowledge that somebody's trying to share with you for a good purpose, such as educational or experiment for your mind to get your mind to ticking, to moving. Look, if you can brilliantly articulate how I am wrong in any subject that I'm talking about, then in a respectful manner, then I can respect you because you just used your mind for something proactive with a little bit of constructive criticism. But if you're just coming out to be a jerk and want to say I'm stupid without no kind of explanation, well, then you're wasting your time and my time because I just laugh at people like that. I'm stupid because I say that energy is free, when in reality, energy is free. We're floating in a sea of it. All we got to do is pay for these gizmos that basically tap into that energy. And so there's a guy out there that does all kinds of alternative energy research dealing with pancake coils and pulsar circuits. I'll have to look up Sky Collection is his name. And he put a video out here just, I think it was yesterday. I'll have to pop a link of this one into the chat room. I don't remember if I did or not, so I'll do it again. But anyway, he put a video out showing that he's starting off with 4.5 volts and he's getting actually more voltage being generated by this system. And so his research, not only does he do really quality work, but his research is actually showing results, physical results. And so I think that if anybody out there on YouTube ever makes a free energy device that is proven and irrefutable, it's going to be this guy first. So I'll post this link over there in the chat room. And he uses English subtitles for certain things because he doesn't speak English in the video. But if you got a good mechanical brain, you can understand what it is that he's trying to show you. I posted that link on the Shaziz Radio in the Super Chat .html and on the Wake Radio site as well, so everybody can take a look at it. But if there's ever going to be anybody out there who literally proves once and for all over unity or free energy, my bet is on this guy right here. Not only does he do quality work, but he measures it all along while he's doing it, and he just wants to find, you know, how far he can take this technology. And right there, what you're looking at is essentially a combination of Tesla technology and a whole bunch of modern day research, such as Slayer exciter circuits, and you know, it's all based off of Tesla's coil that, you know, folks are now trying to say that is hazardous to your health. So anyway, you got any thoughts on it, Thomas?
Nope.
Okay. Well, let's see what we...
I had just about enough of these shenanigans.
Yeah, but it's science, man. It's all in the name of science. What this guy's doing is research, and that's what I call real science, real research, hands-on research. That's what I do in my lab, hands-on research. I try it, I get a result. If the result...
Ham sandwich research?
Ham sandwich? I bet you could make a battery out of a ham sandwich. You know, there's a... I'm going to do an experiment with clay because they say that clay is negatively charged. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, well, Google it. It's out there, man. But if
just because somebody says it doesn't make it so, though.
Well, we'll just have to find out.
Clay is negatively charged.
Yeah.
Clay is a pretty broad term.
Clay,
a lot of stuff falls under the term clay.
The clay like you get in out of the ground, man. The clay like it's underneath the pond. The green clay, the gray clay. This comes in multiple different colors. It's snippy.
Which means that it's not made of the exact same thing as all the other stuff. It's not the same color.
It's just mixed with different minerals, like green and blue and red.
So how is that?
Copper.
You know,
some would be like
how can
iron.
They say that it's all negatively charged? It's made out of all these different substances. I would think that you'd find some that's negatively and some that's positively charged.
Which would be a plus. Don't you think? It's like a negative.
Well, it's not a plus if somebody's, for the person who's claiming it's all one way or the other. Does that just prove them wrong?
No, probably so. But what if you had a negatively charged... clump of clay and a positively charged clump of clay. What do you got?
You got a mess because you got to have a dielectric to keep them from discharging into each other.
So you throw some wax paper in between there or some glass. Now what do you got?
I don't know. You still got a lot more to go than just, you know, that's it. And there you go. There's a battery. I know what you're trying to drive me toward, and I'm not doing it. I'm not going for it, man.
Look, you can take salt water and two different metals.
Don't be spraying that hose at me trying to get me to run back into the fire.
So, if you got two known substances that are one's positively charged and one's negatively charged,
and you gotta make sure your potential's right and all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
Then figure out if you've even got enough that's useful. Otherwise, it's just garbage.
Otherwise, it's just clay, man.
That's right, just dirt.
But still not garbage because there were certain groups of individuals who made dishes out of this stuff.
Well, you just messed it up, though, by mixing wax paper and mixing the two different kinds together that may cause it to crack when they try to fire it.
Well, I'll clean up my mess when I'm done experimenting.
You didn't say you were going to do this. You were sounding like you were expecting me to do it, though.
No, I planned on doing it. I got tons of clay around my property. I got this one cliff that is all...
Get a multi-tester. Get out there and get on it, then. Now, see, that would be something worth talking about in the next show. What are your results, man? Where's your links? Post some videos. Do some testing.
I'll take my voltmeter.
See what you can find, man. If you find something useful, hey, awesome.
I'll take my voltmeter and my camera down to the creek, or the crick, from whichever society you're from. Some people like to call it a creek. Some people like to call it a crick. A crick, to me, is like something in your neck.
Yeah.
But either way, crick,
like
creek,
people who keep complaining about things and complaining about people complaining. That's a crick.
Yeah.
In my neck.
So, I'm going to take a voltmeter down there, and I'm going to plug it into different colors of clay and see if I can get any voltage off of it. So different colors of clay should be different colors of clay because of different minerals that are in the dirt. That's how they get different colors. So, might be just a case that I could plug into the doggone hill and get a light bulb to light up. What do you think?
Well, I think you're going to have to find something that you're going to use two electrodes of the exact same material so that you're not getting a galvanic reaction from them. So you use a zinc electrode in one and a copper electrode in the other, you're going to get a battery out of that because the two will start, one of those will start oxidizing.
Well, these nifty little $7 meters that I got have two little metal probes that are the same metal on there, and I can just like walk over there with the two wires and start plugging it into different sections of the clay to see if I get any kind of voltage out of it.
Well, that's not how you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to separate the two with a dielectric and then plug one into one clay and the other one into the other clay.
Well, then I'll take me a piece
and
of
see,
plastic.
And see if there's a potential that's migrating across that dielectric. Yeah. The dielectric, if it's too powerful, too, you may end up losing potential over that, too. You know.
So I'll take me some plastic shims down there of different thicknesses and see what I get.
Might try some paper towel, too, with some salt in it.
Yeah, that's
possible. Make an electrolyte.
That's a possibility. But either way, what I'm saying is it's like natural resources out there, man. Earth batteries, you know, when you pick up dirt, there's all kinds of minerals and stuff inside.
So sorry I'm not too serious, but, you know, you've been not being serious throughout most of this conversation, letting these knuckleheads that we're talking about, Tesla being a space-headed woo-woo.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, he's a high priest of Scientology.
And then you switch to something serious and, like, you know, still stuck on that.
Are you actually getting mad on mad science?
No, I'm just getting kind of disgusted, man.
All right. Anyway.
We could have talked about that tomorrow, man. Isn't that when we talk about the craziness of the way people think and the stupid nonsense that people do?
Oh, mad science, man. It's like if somebody's going to say that something ain't possible, they got to prove it. They got to put the data out there. They got to put the evidence.
No. People say something is or isn't possible about technology, about science, but... You know, Scientology, even though you got the word science in the beginning of it, is not science.
Well, you'd be surprised at how many people believe that that's the case.
But it's still a religion. It's a bunch of religious nonsense, you know. These people believe in something that tells them it's okay for them to be a jerk to other people, you know.
Well...
Actually, not even that it's okay. They're saying they should go be a jerk to the people. Oh, they're fair game.
To take a
go,
man,
go beat those guys up because, you know, we don't like them.
To take a brilliant man and lump him under the lunatic umbrella of Scientology is just in the science.
That doesn't sound like they were trying to make him sound crazy. It sounds like somebody was trying to validate that nonsense that L. Ron Hubbard put out.
L. Ron Hubbard, I've heard the name, but what did he put out?
He's the one that put the book Dianetics out that started the whole Scientology nonsense, man. Aliens falling to Earth and, you know, being stuck in a volcano, and the people who are members of the Church of Scientology think that they're actually aliens embodied in human flesh, and everybody else is nothing more than monkey boys. But they're space aliens, so they're above everybody else, you know.
Oh, I see. So membership.
Yeah, if you're gonna get on this thing, you need to go do a little research and find out what this guy is actually talking about, and just see how ridiculously stupid this guy is. It didn't even start until after. Edison was dead, man. I mean, Tesla was dead.
Well, I like the technology that Tesla was researching because I've used this technology. I know the benefits of it. I know that essentially a Tesla coil
Yeah, why don't you say that like it really is? You know some of the benefits. Nobody knows everything yet. There's still a lot. There's a treasure trove that we need to finish digging out and figuring out what all use it has. All
right, some.
If only you were still around, man.
Some of the technology, some of the benefits. There are, I know, some of the hazards. Either way, look.
Mm-hmm.
A Tesla coil is nothing more than a radio antenna. All right, and all those sparks that he did in that promotional video was to get funding, and I recognize that right out of the gate. I mean, that's a lot of wasted energy if you're going to be throwing it all off in the air and not directing it to where you want it to go. But in that particular instance, it was directed exactly where he wanted to go because he needed to get people's attention to get some funding. That's fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much money do they spend on 30 seconds for the advertising when the Super Bowl's on?
Yeah.
I'd say those sparks, how little it cost him, he got quite a deal.
But as far as
he's still getting advertising out of that.
Of course he is. But as far as the doggone technology itself, I mean, if you look at a plasma globe and you understand what's actually occurring inside that plasma globe, it is a brilliant reaction. The Mercury Arc rectifier was a brilliant reaction. I mean,
3,000 degrees.
Yeah, you're getting heat, you're getting visible light, you're getting energy transfer. There's so many different possible ways that you could use this technology, and it doesn't take a lot of power to generate high voltage. You know, it's only whenever you're trying to draw a serious load off of this that you're going to have to make it work harder. And this is why they keep failing in their quest to find over unity, is because they're still trying to figure out a way to work around Lenz's law, where they don't invoke Lenz's law, or they can beat it somehow or another. But they're still making the same doggone mistake that you make every time you turn your light switch on. That electron flow goes right back into the same generator you're trying to pull your power off of. Now, with high voltage, you don't have to do that. You can send that high voltage into a gas, which doesn't give it a direct path back. That's how the Mercury Arc rectifier turned high voltage AC into high voltage DC. It's pressurized that chamber and would only allow the electron flow in one direction. So, essentially, we had the equivalence of a plasma reactor back in the 1800s that makes the nuclear reactor look like child's play. That's what I've been saying all along. You're going to take something like highly refined radioactive material and run the risk of overheating the water to the extent that you cause a hydrogen explosion when you don't have to. Because the worst case scenario in the plasma reactor is that you crack the casing and the gas leaks out and maybe a lightning bolt shoots out the side of it and burns down the neighbor's cat house and sets fire to the deal, which causes
cat
a cow
house
to freak out. And yeah,
they got a red light out in front of that cat house?
Yeah, probably. Either way, the cow kicks over the lantern, and the lantern sets fire to the barn, and then starts a chain reaction or whatever. You know, look, it's when the reactor breaks down in a plasma reactor, the process doesn't go critical and cause a nuclear explosion or a hydrogen explosion or whatever. That's
kablooey.
Yeah. So. All I'm saying is that energy is something that we have access to. It's plausible technology. I mean, everybody who's ever seen a plasma globe thinks they're cool, and they stand around, they look at them, and run your fingers, watch the little tracers go on there, and some of them have even taken it even farther and put aluminum foil on there and shocked the crud out of themselves, or a penny and burnt their finger, or whatever. I hooked 20,000 volts to mine. It was cool, man. So, you know, it's what you want to do with the technology, but it's still really good information. And if it was expanded on, think about all the things that you could do with it. Man, heating water with high voltage without having to have a whole lot of current flow to do it, where the generator's not having to work so hard, And then being able to take that that heat out from the center of that plasma and transfer it into some other liquid or whatever. Now you don't have the run risk of a radioactive explosion. And if you're worried about stray rays coming off the dang thing, put a Faraday cage around it. Put it in encase it in something like a big box of lead or something. If you're worried about radiation. You see what I'm saying, man?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I'm tired of being thrown under the bus.
All right. Well, some of the chemistry you work with could be hazardous if used improperly. Right? It's obvious you don't.
Hazardous to your health.
Yeah. It's obvious you don't want to eat lead paint because we found out that lead paint doesn't help you. And it's obvious that you don't want to make hats using mercury, because we also found out that mercury doesn't help you. And people still.
What about looking into the laser with your remaining eye?
If it's all in the name of science, I say go for it. What happens if I burn out both of my eyes? It gets dark quickly.
Quickly, huh?
Yeah.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the instrumentation inside your brain is amazing, because when you go blind, they say your hearing increases and your sense of smell. All your other senses are peaked, because now suddenly you don't have that that optical to rely on. Pretty amazing, eh? So, if you understand the human body, if you understand how the human body sends information from one point to the other point, electrical signals and chemistry and all that, then you should be able to figure out how to keep your body in balance and healthy. You should be able to figure out cures for things, and that's what all this science and this stuff is all about. You know, the whole, if you want electricity, why pay thousands of dollars a year to get it? I mean, if nature's already supplied the energy to do it, and mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole going overseas and fighting over oil, if that's the case, or cracking the ground up to bust out some oil or some natural gas, look, it's common sense, man. If you crack the ground that you're standing on, and you suck out the hydraulic pressure underneath that ground that you're standing on, or even the gas pressure underneath that ground that you're standing on, and then you fall in a sinkhole, and then you say, what happened? I'll see what went wrong.
That's just it, though. The people who are doing that aren't going to be standing around to fall into it. They're going to let somebody else fall into it.
Yeah, they'll be sucking.
And then they're going to have an ambulance somewhere with the energy that they pulled out of the ground ready to take them to the hospital and slap a big bill on them for doing it.
Yep. They're going to suck the hydraulic pressure out from underneath your house foundation.
And they charge you to come along and jack it up once every, like,
yep,
4 or 5 years as it keeps sinking deeper and deeper into the ground.
And, your house is going to fall in, and they're going to say, well, it was an act of God. But hold on a second, I thought you didn't believe in God, man, Mr. Science Dude.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in God when it comes down to money.
Believe in God whenever you don't want somebody else to pay attention to how something really happened and you get blamed for it.
Yeah. So I'm saying, instead of tearing up nature by cracking the ground to get materials out, why can't we use some common sense and use the readily available stuff that's right there in our face, or, you know, technology?
Man, anybody can do that. You don't want everybody knowing that, or just everybody will be doing it, and then there won't be no corner on the market, man.
That's just,
the market will be round.
That's just it. Even in the water market, they're trying to corner the water market. Because, look, man.
Hey. how do you make a consumer go crazy?
Sell them a bottle of water for a dollar.
Sell them a bottle of water for a dollar, and put them in a round room and tell them to go to the bathroom in the corner.
Ah. Yeah, that would drive me crazy. Man. Look, I'm just saying, it don't make no sense to me. I mean, it makes perfect sense to the people that's doing it. I mean, you can if you can sell water, all you got to do is pollute this side over here. Can't drink that because that's not an option for them. So they got to buy the fresh water from you that's been filtered out. All right. Well, if you're taking accidentally punch into a salt mine and it drains out the majority of the swamp down into the salt mine, then I would say that's not working very friendly with nature. And so why even start drilling for stuff anyway? We've got technology that we could do this safely, you know? That's all I'm saying. I know copper has to come out of the ground, but couldn't you do it responsibly? Man, something. Recycle what you already got. That'd be a plus. Or find out what actually is occurring in electricity. You know, we got the electron theory and many other theories, electric universe theories, and so on and so forth. But get together and really seriously research what is actually occurring when that magnet crosses those lines and starts a flow of energy. Once you got that resolved, then it's just that simple. You know, when you put that windmill up, the wind's blowing and you get electricity. If the wind ain't blowing, you ain't getting electricity. If the sun is shining, your solar panels are generating. If the sun isn't shining, maybe your solar panels might be generating a little bit because there's actually non-visible light. What do you think?
Well, so most solar cells are designed specifically to take advantage of visible light, so you're probably not going to get much power whenever there's no light at all.
Yeah, but would it be totally dead at night?
Depends on whether there's any light out there or not. You get moon shining down on it, you probably get some power out of it, yep. But it ain't going to be anything noticeable.
Well, light is heat and heat is light is what they say, so why couldn't we design...
That's why you're supposed to have storage, man.
Yeah, so why couldn't they design a solar panel that would literally work no matter how bright it was outside? If it's 70, 80 degrees out there, then that has to be a form of light out there in that heat, right?
Or you're talking about infrared radiation, though.
Yeah.
That's generated as the thermal energy is being transmitted from one location to another. Thermal light or infrared light actually does damage to the solar cells. So.
Well, they got infrared detector.
Doesn't produce electricity. It just destroys the cells.
Yeah. They got infrared detector diodes.
Yeah, that's basically the detector is basically being destroyed, so it causes the resistance to change. It's not generating power. That's not how it's detecting. You have to have a circuit hooked up to it, providing it power and testing the power going through it to detect that thermal energy. So
every time you use your remote control to change the channel on your TV, you're destroying that diode.
Destroying the diode, destroying the TV, shining it all over the room because it's flashing over the whole room. It's not just hitting the TV.
That's amazing, man.
And it's actually the flashes that the TV is seeing.
Yeah.
You could actually use a visible light detector to run that whole system too. It's just it would be annoying because everybody would see the flashes and trying to watch TV, you know.
You know, back in the old days, they had this nifty little shooter game that you could actually see the little pulse of light coming out as you're shooting at the TV. You know which game I'm talking about?
I don't recall that. I seem to recall that the TV flashed, and there was a light sensor inside the gun. Because it was in a tube, only the light coming straight down into it would actually hit the sensor in the gun. So you had to be pointed at the right area of the TV.
And so if the TV flashed at the right time when you had the barrel aiming straight at it, then you'd get, the computer would show a graphic of you just hit it.
Right.
Either way, it's pretty doggone impressive technology. So how far could you take that, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did those touchscreen...
cartoons, you can control the characters.
Yep. Well, it's all brilliance, man, until you get down to stupidity, then it's ignorance.
So it's all brilliance, the video with inventing and creating video games, which are nothing more than cartoon characters you can control on your screen until a sister gets mad at a brother and stabs him with a fork.
Yeah.
Over the video game?
That gets down to the ignorance. The other day I was hollering about how I wish that I had one of those that at one time point in time they had these things called TV bricks that when you didn't like something that's going on with the TV, instead of throwing a real brick at your TV, you get the pleasure of throwing this foam rubber brick at your TV.
That sounds like a photograph of oxygen to somebody who's suffocating under in the ocean, drowning in the ocean.
Well, ain't no more stupid than the scratch and sniff coloring books. Somebody thought it was brilliant enough to put some scent on a doggone picture of an apple, and it smelled like an apple or a cherry or a rose or whatever.
Sort of, not really.
Yeah. So, either way, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. You know, if you want to sell a product, you want people to be able to smell the product before you actually sell it to them, and you do like Avon.
Right.
Yeah.
But those are, you know, synthetic chemicals, or the chemicals that have been distilled down to where you can actually put this, store them away. And whenever you get them, whenever you buy them off the shelf, they're already stored, so they're going to smell the same pretty much as what's on the book or whatever. An apple, on the other hand, does not quite smell like a Jolly Ranch apple flavored Jolly Rancher. So, or some like to call them stinky ranchers.
Stinky ranchers.
Yeah, they don't like the smell of them. They smell like a bunch of chemicals, man.
There's another issue in science, is that if you ever need any chemistry to build any less than questionable devices, the snack section at the grocery store might be your best friend.
Get plenty of titanium dioxide out of the
powdered
white
donuts.
Filling that's in the in your filled donuts.
Twinkies?
Yeah, Twinkies. Stinkies.
They say that like those things will last. The Twinkies and roaches will survive the nuclear fallout. So, hey, there's something for you. And can you make a battery out of a Twinkie? There's a good question.
Yeah,
I'll give a shot on that one too. I'm just gonna start running around poking this doggone voltmeter into everything and seeing what's charged and what isn't charged. I'm gonna make a list of it. Look, I got
a long list.
I got 300 millivolts out of a Twinkie. Alright? You know, back in the day, whenever I was going to school, they actually did physical science. And so we actually got to do experiments. You know?
Yeah, you don't dare get to do that, I guess, apparently, anymore.
Oh, no, because we live in a litigious society and somebody might put an eye out or something like that. They're people, I swear.
Plus, it costs money. Those chemicals and glassware and all that stuff, that costs money.
Yep.
We ain't got money to be wasted on education.
We need to wrap every child in bubble wrap and put a helmet on them and send them to the school in a 65-passenger rickshaw with some big policeman pulling it to and from school up and down the hills in the snow and the rain and the heat. And that way everybody's safe, man. I mean, what could go wrong?
You know you're not supposed to ask that question, right?
Well, according to Murphy's Law, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. The doggone wheel bearing on the rickshaw runs out of grease and dries and burns up, and the wheel falls off, and all the kids roll off into the ravine, and somebody gets hurt.
Because that wheel fell off right next to the ravine. Because not only does Murphy's Law state that whatever can go wrong will go wrong, but it'll also go wrong at the worst possible moment.
Yep. And so, you know, with that said, the ambulance chasers, or in this case, rickshaw chasers, will rush in and they'll sue somebody, and then we'll have to ban rickshaws. Like, I'm just tired of banning everything, man. All I want to do is get some science on the table. Let's get some things built. That's all I've been trying to do all this time. You know, I come on here and talk about all the different researches that I'm talking about, if I can get somebody to pay attention long enough to understand what it is that I'm talking about. Like, in the noble gases, I don't have a periodical table in front of me, but let's say argon and helium have two separate amounts of electrons. And if so, if these two gases were in general proximity of each other with a thin dielectric between them, would they try to steal electrons from each other? Would you get an actual flow just from these gas molecules by themselves?
From two noble gases?
Yeah.
That are at their lowest potential state that they could possibly be at?
Yeah, but see, one of them has more electrons than the other.
Doesn't matter. That's not what matters. Not, the theory is basically that there are positively and negatively charged particles there, and those particular particles, they have not only an equal amount of positive and negative particles, but the outer shell is the correct distance for the amount of electrons that are in it so that it's completely balanced.
Okay, so
it neither wants to share its electrons nor receive any electrons from an outside source, which is why they're good for making plasma gases out of, because you can electrically charge them and they won't interact with each other or with the container that they're inside of.
So what if you throw one or the other side off balance? Like energize one side of the gas, and then the opposite side, what kind of reaction do you think it'd get?
Probably going to take more energy to do that than you're going to get out of it.
Maybe.
Because they're going to fight that all the way. That's like trying to get a cat to drag a cart for you. You know?
Well, if the cat did do that, number one, the cat's not going to do it on demand. Because cats don't listen to you when you talk to them. Well, they'll listen.
Have you ever put something on the back of a cat, even something really light?
They run in circles and flip upside down and freak out.
They hunch down real close to the ground because they're trying to crawl out from underneath whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's not going to do much good because they're not really crawling real hard, so they're not going to have a lot of pull pressure there. Who's trying to call you?
That's Justin. All right, you can add him or whatever if you want. So,
no.
I was saying there's all kinds of different options out there, things that could be tested. But you know, with the noble gases, you don't have to worry
about him.
You don't have to worry about explosions and stuff like that. You want me to try?
Yeah, you're gonna have to, I guess, if you can find him.
All right. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Add people to this call. Anyway, stop it!
Yeah!
Alright. I just added. Let's see if it picks up. Alright, so, essentially, the plasma reactor that I'm talking about is a tuner, man. That's it. That's all it does. Speed up, slow down electrons to get a result out the other side. Different frequency range. And
right.
So, I want to see exactly how far that I can actually take this technology. There was an individual on YouTube who took some aluminum tape, left the paper on the back of the sticky portion of it, and taped it around an outside of a fluorescent bulb, and when that fluorescent bulb was energized, essentially turned it into a variable capacitor. So there's some really good bits of knowledge right there. You just turn that fluorescent bulb into a variable capacitor. And the key for me is that inside that bulb is gas that is energized into the plasma state, so that you know that you can actually bring some of that energy back out and you can charge up capacitors with it. That's why I'm interested in plasma technology. That and the fact that you can cut steel with it, and other, you know, plasma cutters are pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there's a lot
of... And I got an echo now.
I don't know why.
Echo. Yep, it's coming from your end.
And it must be coming from Justin's end.
No, my mic was muted.
Oh.
Well. And it didn't start until you added him, but it's not coming from him, it's coming from you.
All right, well, I don't know how to repair it, because my microphone is like, you know, can you hear me now? Huh.
Yeah, I'm not echoing now. You got it, whatever right. It was. Oh, what the heck?
Okay, when I'm not talking, I'll put my hand on this microphone, that way it ain't echoing back to you.
Okay, is that what's going on?
Yeah. So
you pointed away from whatever speakers you got there that it's coming back out of.
Yeah. It might have been when that stuff was falling down the deal there. Either way, back to the plasma. See, the Earth, the space, and all the magnetic fields in every direction or whatever, all you got to do is... you know, interact with it. The swimming pool, you stick your finger in the swimming pool, you create a ripple that goes across the water and affects everything inside. So, with that said, all we're doing anytime we use any kind of energy whatsoever is tipping nature slightly off balance. When nature resets itself, we're grabbing that energy on the way back and we're using it. I believe that we can do this using plasma technology, just by energizing the gas into the plasma state and using that energy to move heat, or even light for that matter, and electricity at once. So at the very least, make whatever we're using our stuff off of super efficient, because you're not having to drain a massive... you're not pulling a heck of a load off of the doggone thing like a normal gasoline generator. If you understand what I'm trying to say. So, I'm talking about not reinventing electricity, which you can't because it's been around since the dawn of time. I'm sure a caveman got hit by a lightning bolt sometime, or shocked his woman on the nose while, you know, rubbing his flip-flops across the cave floor or whatever.
Flip-flops.
Well, his moccasins or whatever. Something. Somebody back there said, what the heck is going on there, man? But using that, taking this energy and redefining how we're using the energy instead of using it in a wasteful manner that we do right now, that's where my research is headed. And so if this could be, if you could get it done at the very least to make it more efficient, to redefine how we use electricity, you might be able to make the electricity safe enough to the point where you don't have to worry about setting fire to your house if something shorts out. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're only using it when you need it, and that's it. The rest of the time, it's completely off. You're not, you know, at any given time, you can take a voltmeter, not a volt meter, a wireless AC tester around all your outlets, regardless of whether you're got anything plugged in or anything running. You can find out if that thing's live, because one side of the wire is live. And so you can detect that energy. So it's constantly running. It's sitting there in waiting for you. All you got to do is plug something in. And it don't care what you plug in. The energy's coming out. So if you plug tweezers in there, you might not get the results that you wanted. So, Justin, what's on your mind, brother?
Oh, not too much. Just constantly cutting rocks.
Cutting rocks?
Yeah. Cutting rocks.
Well, somebody's got to have a hobby.
Vibrating things. Creating sound. Having fun. Not worrying about any of the I don't know, the toxic that's going on in the world.
No reason to. The politics of life.
Yeah. Just be mindful, man. I'm here to enjoy life and live life, so.
Yeah, I wanna uplift other people in this world who wanna be uplifted to the standards that everybody's accustomed to. So I want to prove once and for all that energy is free. And give them the opportunity to choose.
There is no energy crisis. There's no food crisis. There's no population crisis. This is a psychosis. It's a mental disease. And we keep prolonging it ourselves. We can lead all the horses to water, she says, but we can't make them drink it. We can't tell nobody anything. All we can do is inspire and guide and steer.
You may not be able to make that horse drink the water, but you can surely shove him in and give him a bath. Now, he might resent you for that.
Right, then that's controlling. Nobody likes to be controlled or forced, right?
Yep. So I would say the same thing would apply with energy. It doesn't like to be controlled or forced.
Like you said, the electricity sit there at the wall waiting for you. Well, if it's just sitting there waiting, there is no energy crisis.
It's sitting there lurking, man. I'm telling you, it's sitting there waiting for that stupid individual that's going to come up there and stick the wrong wire in the wrong hole, and it's going to jump out and get him. But what if you could take that electricity and bring it down to such a state where it was just going to interact with whatever it is that you need done, and it's not going to shock the living crud out of you. You know, it's amazing how you can stand there near a Tesla coil where thousands of volts is going through. You can actually send thousands of volts through your body into somebody else's, and they can hold a light bulb, a fluorescent bulb on the other side and light it up. But nobody dies. You see what I mean?
Because when you increase the frequency, you're getting closer and closer transforming that electromagnetic wave into a sound wave. Right? Like you were playing with an LC circuit, right? When you were playing with your Tesla coil and you threw the Walkman across the floor, you're like, look, it's still showing way further than a light bulb will. Now, if you take that Walkman and you hook up a LED or something to it, or even a fluorescent to it, you can still throw it across the room and still light up that light bulb, because you're pulsing the power source, the batteries, and the capacitor, making it a resonant circuit, and you're sending a frequency, sound. Sound propagates much further, infrasound, right? A whale can propagate its sound up to 1,300 kilometers. That's amazing. Because it's using the opposite mathematics of Ohm's law. It's going into the decimal value, the fractions. We're in the whole numbers now. So if you want to gain energy, right, sound, you can produce 1 watt of sound, which is equivalent to 100 watts of electromagnetic electricity.
So my question is this. Are you going to be able to generate a tone that will run your toaster?
A tug?
A tone.
A toad? You sure could. You could heat up water. You could melt rock. You can melt glass. You could do anything with sound.
Well, man, that's
universe.
Sound.
One song.
Sound waves, electrical waves, every kind of wave out there is all in the same medium. It's all in the same atmosphere. And if you find the right tune that will resonate, it's the sympathetic resonance, the same thing that we talked about with the tuning forks, where one will vibrate and a sound wave will travel across, and it'll cause the other one to vibrate because they're in resonance with each other. Same
right.
Materials. So there ain't no reason why we couldn't make a pleasant sound and a matching tuning fork. They would take that pleasant sound and vibrate a tuning fork that would essentially act like the pickups on a guitar, regular electric guitar, that would transfer that energy back into electrical signals that then in turn could actually run stuff.
Right. Right. The tuning fork, oscillator, amplifiers, receiver, transmitters have been around for a long time. Back into the 1700s, 1756, I believe, was one of the first oscillators in our era. Man copy-paste the word man got that from. Well, I know the Egyptians have a lot of tuning forks and everything else, too. Right? So, yeah, like you're saying, if I have a tuning fork of yada-yada mathematics, and you have the same tuning fork of yada-yada mathematics, then I can vibrate it with an electromagnet, right, and I can sing into that electromagnet using a diaphragm, right, and it will send that sound all the way around the world, and you'll be able to receive it with the same tuning fork.
Well,
you can send the pictures, wireless internet, you can send anything with the tuning fork, because it's the sound, it's an oscillation.
Well, with all that said, and all the different tones and sounds and musical scales and electrical frequencies, radio waves, and all that, with all the different potential energies in this world, how could anybody in their right mind say that electricity is not free?
It's all the way that you desire, all the way that you seek to understand, to, you know, what you dream you can make happen. The knowledge is there if you want it. Right? We've been talking to each other around the world for thousands of years. If you take a tuning fork and you replicate it in stone, quartz, granite, what is the shape? It's an obelisk. An obelisk and a tuning fork are the exact same things. And what does an obelisk do? It sits in the ground. How did Tesla say to propagate sound? In the ground. Energy in the ground. It's a transjunction, right, of music.
So some folks think that I get too political on my Mad Science show, and I don't think that I should talk about certain subjects on Mad Science, but my question is, if we got all this knowledge of how to use sound and light and radio waves and standing waves and square waves and sine waves, we got all this knowledge on how to transfer energy, because that's simply all we're doing, is we're throwing nature off balance and catching it on the way back to do some work. If all of this knowledge is freely available to all of humanity out here, then why are we still allowing companies, corporations, and governments to regulate every single idea that comes out there across the doggone table? If the average Joe sees it, they say seeing is believing. Nobody's going to believe a free energy device until they have one in their hand that they can freely test by themselves. Now, I don't have the skills or the equipment to literally build a massive array of tuning forks that will literally pick up any vibrational sound that, you know, so much as the wind blowing has its own frequency, you know, and the strength of the wind blowing could have another frequency. or sound whistles from the wind blowing through the side of the shed or whatever. There's tons and tons of sound waves bouncing around. There's tons of waves of radio waves, waves coming from space, waves coming from the ground, waves coming from activities, doors slamming, cars going by. With all that said, all the ripples in the pond, so to speak, if you can resonate with one of those frequencies, you can capture that energy and change that energy into a usable energy again. And so if you have the capability of capturing every single radio wave known to man, every single sound wave known to man, I don't know how massive an array of oscillators that you'd have to build with tuning forks, but it isn't beyond the realms of possibility that you could design a doggone generator that would pick up all those noises as they're going on 24 hours a day, and even recapture some of the energy while you're jaw-jacking to your friends in the house, or the TV's blasting, or the radio for that matter, and store that energy into power banks that you could then in turn use later on. It's not like we can't do it. You see what I'm saying? It's not like it can't be done. It's that you got to be able to get enough folks together to create these devices that we're talking about.
Right. Let's see, here's another thing. I like to interject this because it's very important. Even if you're making free energy, the government here in Canada, and I'm sure this is going to go worldwide because it's a global banking cartel, right? They're saying that if you go off the grid, they're trying to implement this. It hasn't been implemented yet. They want to implement it. That you're going to have to pay $5,000 a year if you want to be off the grid. So if my average water bill is $100 a month, and my average hydro bill is $100 a month, and my average gas bill is $100 a month, that's only $3,600 a year. So I'm now paying $1,400 extra because I want it to be green.
Well, that guy in the Bugs Life movie talked about the ants. He talked about one ant being, you know, basically mouthy. And the guy was, the other one's, well, he's just one little puny ant. Don't worry about him. And then he talks about all the other ants jumping in there, and that all the other ants outnumbered the grasshoppers 100 to 1. Well, that's the way society is. That's the way reality is. I don't care about the government trying to regulate me if I go off the power grid, because I'm not going to ask the government for permission. That's it, plain and simple. And if the other 320 million people in the United States feel the same way as I do, they're not going to care either. And so unless the government wants to go around and have a full-blown revolution, then they better just listen to the majority of the people. If they decide they don't want to pay the power company and they want to use their own energy that nature's already provided, that's what I'm saying. But as long as you've got people out there running the mouth about, oh, well, this won't work, or that won't work, or I'm afraid of the government because the government's going to do this, or whatever, then we're never going to get out of this deal. The mad science show is going to be around for the next million years, man. When I'm dead, somebody else will be talking about it.
So that's the psychosis. They have everybody living in fear. If you're scared to ever speak up, if you're scared to ever do something, then are you truly, really living?
Truth be told, everyone has themselves living in fear because they got a choice. And that's the way it is. You know, nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions, so they blame groups like the Illuminati or the Freemasons or all the different secret societies or government entities, alphabet soups and all that. They want to blame everybody out there but themselves.
Right.
I can do research in my lab right now because I'm free to do so. And as long as I don't come across something that they deem to be dangerous, then they're not going to mess with me. But the moment I find something dangerous, such as like Stan Myers did, then suddenly I become a possible threat to the government, you know? the matter of national security.
So if you become a threat, what are they really so scared of? Are they scared of losing control?
They're scared of what that grasshopper said. It ain't about the food, it's about control.
Right, it's all about control. If they lose control of their cattle and they have a coup,
so we know that.
Right?
So we know that. So let's get beyond that. Let's get to
right.
Let's get to the point where we start building things. Even if we have to do it and ship parts back and forth to one another, let's start building things. If I come across an idea and I need some special tuning forks, is there anyone out there listening who would be willing to send me those tuning forks in exchange for maybe some vacuum tubes that I got or some parts that I got? That's what I've been trying to get started. I've been trying to get the dream team together. You know, it's not that I don't do work behind the scenes, because I do. I share whatever ideas that I come up with everybody freely. You know,
Rome wasn't built in a night.
But I'm trying to get the dream team together. That's what I want. I want the dream team. I want the networks. And the reason why I talk political on Mad Science as well as on the Knights of the Round Table is because that's what everybody says the problem is. It's politics. It's patent offices. It's corporations. They're always getting in the way. They won't let you do this. They won't let you do that. Well, doggone it, if your homeowners association won't let you put a solar panel up in your yard, sell your house and move. You know? It's that simple. You don't have to let there live underneath tyranny. You choose to do it. You don't have to allow the governments to be corrupt. You choose to do it. Now, if you want free energy, it exists. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's nobody in this world who can ever convince me that energy is not free, especially when I'm looking outside and the wind is blowing my hair to all four points of the compass.
How can energy not be free? My heart is beating right now. Bang, 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 bang. That's an oscillation. That's a waveform. Where does it come from? How does it exist? Right?
Well, My deal is I need a little bit further research into what is actually occurring at the microscopic level. You know, we got the electron theory. However, nobody's ever really actually seen an electron. It's theory. They theorize that these electrons exist on this, and the mathematical equations tell them how many electrons per material that's out there.
Right, that's why I study vibratory physics,
but
and there's
nobody,
not one school in North America that teaches vibratory physics.
Well,
not one school.
Your thought in how sound waves are the energy, or magnetic waves being electricity, vice versa, those are fully plausible. Those are testable theories. But to put it in into an actual device, what you're talking about, cutting rocks, Yeah, that's proven science. You can cut rocks with sound. You can cut rocks with electricity. You can melt glass with electricity, So we've got all the knowledge on how to do certain things. Putting it into an actual physical device, The average Joe out there can not only go to the hardware store and replicate, but be able to do this safely. That's why we're at where we're at right now. That's why we're still talking about mad science. That's why there's still wars on oil going on. There's people out there that want to suppress technology. I don't care whether we did or didn't go to the moon, or whether we did or didn't go to Pluto. What I care about is the technology that was paid for by the people that made that possible should be out here in the general public for other people to research in an open source manner and be able to share that information. We paid for those patents.
Oh, but it is. Turn on the TV like everybody else for 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day, and do a 40-hour work week on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, but why sit around and watch?
You see? That's how they've done it. We have, in the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights, we have the right to, the science is in our communities. But you see, they've obscured that from us. They put it on the televisions. Right? You watch TV, Discovery Channel. Oh, this is made this way. Oh, but we can't show you that. That's top secret. You see?
Well, I would say, right now, you got access to the World Wide Web. You got access to tons and tons of YouTubers, even the knuckleheads out there. All right? And you can find the do's and the don'ts, and you can find schematics and diagrams and plans on how to build just about everything under the sun. We need a mad scientist in every single garage out there. If you ever want to get to the point where everybody's energy independent, first off, you got to stop letting the governments tell you no. Second off, you got to stop listening to the knuckleheads talking smack about things that they don't even do no videos on themselves. And you got to get things done. I build stuff in my lab all the time. I got all kinds of projects over there. I got projects over here. And so I know I'm doing stuff. But as far as where I want to go with the research that I'm doing, I actually need some help from somebody else out there in this world who has skills, who has technology, who maybe a 3D printer or CNC machine or can make me some tuning forks or customized plasma tubes, all of which boils down to the same dang old beast that keeps on fighting, keep on having to fight with all along. It all falls down to financial. Can't afford to get this made, can't afford to get that made. And people out there by themselves, there's tons of researchers that can't afford to do certain things. So I'm saying go out there and support those individuals. If you have the capabilities and the skill set and the tools to make a certain deal, advertise on Shaziz Radio or advertise out there on social media networks. Hey, look, if anybody's doing research in Tesla technology, if you want to make a Slayer exciter, I know this guy named Ryan Abrams who is not only an artist, but whenever he makes a coil, I mean, it looks good. It not only functions like it's supposed to, but it looks good. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely, Ryan. Ryan can definitely make some nice stuff. I love Ryan. I really do love Ryan. He's an awesome guy. Period. But to me, he's like the guy that builds the Harley, the same Harley over and over and over. It may look cool, it might have the extra buttons and everything, but I don't know.
Look, man, have you seen all of his research? He doesn't just do coils. He does a ton.
Right.
A ton. I mean, more than probably, I'd say at least 80% of all the researchers out there. Ryan's tested so many different designs and ideas and stuff. He's made tons and tons of stuff. And so, you know, with that said, he's a brilliant resource out there. If people would actually pay attention to what he's doing and try it themselves, you know, or support him, send him some copper wire, man.
I would definitely advocate sending him money. Definitely. He's a great inspirer, definitely. But to me, it's the same stuff over and over. A lot of it is. That's just me because I'm outside of the box.
Well, I watch it. I watch every single video that Ryan does, and if one thing he's not, and it's not repetitive. I mean, that's plain and simple. And as far as researchers, Ryan Abrams is probably one of my most favorite researchers out here, just because of the way that he does the things that he does. And you got guys out there like Terry Woodruff out there, brilliant, wonderful guys to talk to, man. There's some really cool researchers out there. Deeds, if you ever seen any of Deeds' work, I mean, he does some really quality work, some brilliant work, and he's literally trying to see how far that you can push that technology, how far you can actually go with it, what kind of uses you can give it, how to transfer that energy back into usable energy again. Deeds is another one of my favorite researchers. All right, and guys like Russ from RWG Research or Mark Brass over at Brasher over at Zero Fossil Fuels. These guys, they put up, man. They do it. They make stuff, you know. And there's tons of researchers out there that do that kind of stuff. And I'm saying, you know, if we ever want to get things done, support these guys. You know, if you guys and gals out there want to see the end of the whole called bogus global warming slash climate change deal, then get out there and support the guys that are working on the same thing that you're trying to accomplish. Clean, renewable energies, green energies, free energies, anything. No, don't matter what terminology you tack to it. The reality is this. The way that we use energy today is not only wasteful, it's destructive. And so why not find better ways to do it? And the best way to find the better ways to do it is to go out there and find these guys who are researching this stuff and support them. If you find out that they're a knucklehead, then don't support them. And if you find out that their research is worthy and you want to share it with everybody, that's what this website's for. Throw links in the chat room. Go on the Facebook and YouTube and share it with all your social media networks. If you hear one of these podcasts that you like, copy it, rebroadcast it, do whatever you like with it. That's, we're throwing the information out there for you to use. And if you got something to say, then come over here and jump on the microphone. You know, if you got research going on in your lab that you know, maybe something we say could be the missing piece of the puzzle that would give that advancement. My point is this: it's we the people that's ever going to get this done. You know, you're not going to get it out of any representation out there. It's going to have to be networks of we the people at a ground roots level, and not allowing anyone to tell us that we can't do it. Period. I don't care about the government. I don't care about the one world conspiracies. I don't care about the rules and regulations that out there. As long as I'm not trying to hurt nobody and you're not trying to hurt nobody and we're trying to work to advance society so that everybody out there can have a roof over their head and everybody can have food in their belly and heat and when they need heat and cool air when they need cool air. There ain't no reason why we couldn't have already done this. Outside of greed, outside of the money system, outside of government. And that, my friends, is why sometimes, and maybe a lot more than a lot of folks want, that it gets political on Mad Science. Because the only hindrances out there are the ones that are continuously trying to tax it or tell you that you can't. Period. And I'm tired of being told that I can't. When I look out there, I know basic science. You know, am I the most brilliant man on the planet? No, but I got enough common sense to know that there are certain ways that you could do things that would be a heck of a lot more efficient than what we're doing right now. You're using 1800s or prior technology to boil water. You throw in some modern technology, radioactive crud, that you're going to use that to boil water, and then once that radioactive crud gets depleted down to the point where it can no longer boil the water as efficient as you'd like, you put it in barrels and bury it in the ground and call it waste. So now, you got a section of the earth that is still highly radioactive that probably isn't safe for the average Joe to be in, but there's all that wasted energy potential down there just because you couldn't boil water with it. That, to me, is ignorant. Because that energy that's coming off of there can still be used. Period. Even if it's going to be, I don't know what the half-lives of some of these materials are once they're finally done being depleted, but they're still radioactive, and so they're still releasing energy, and that energy can be captured and changed into a safe and usable form of energy. If the half-life is only 1,000 years, there's 1,000 years worth of free electricity for somebody. You see what I'm saying? Yeah? No? Did I lose you guys? Apparently.
Well, electricity, like, that's what I mean. Like, there's no energy crisis. There's none.
That's what I've been saying. Why do you think I call it mad science?
People, but that's the psychosis, right?
Well, if you think
neuroplasticity of the brain, that's synaptic.
Listen, man. If you think the world is under a psychosis, find out what frequency range at which they're transmitting the psychosis to the world, and send out a happy tone of wake me up to the world and resolve that problem. Because it ain't going to do no good to sit around and complain about how the whole world is freaking nuts or psychotic if you ain't got no result to fix it. Now, the result to fix it is basically what we've been doing, is showing and teaching and shouting it to all four points of the compass, trying to get folks out there to understand that they have options outside of sitting there becoming a slave and having to feed the system. The same system that keeps you enslaved is the same one that they keep on protecting. Especially when the knuckleheads on there mouthing off at you and talking smack about other researchers, but yet they ain't got no work to show for their own stuff. If you're going to tell me something ain't possible, prove it. Show me why. Show me the data. Show me something. But I'm telling you that there are thermal vents all over this doggone rock that we call Earth, or even if it's flat. I don't care. Flat, square, concave, convex, triangle, or dodecahedron. It doesn't matter to me. What I do know is that I can physically go to a place where I can see volcanic vents that are producing massive amounts of heat and steam and gas. And all that is coming out of the ground anyway, so you don't even have to dig for it. And you can use that energy to pump into a power grid that you could then in turn light up every freaking house on the planet. That's just one. And somewhere on this earth, it is windy all day long, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And so there's more power. And then, on top of that, somewhere around this earth, all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, there is a lightning bolt with millions of volts of electricity blasting from the ground to the sky. There is more potential energy. And there is literally a mathematical equation out there that will tell you for every so many feet you get off the ground how high the static electricity voltage rises, and you can literally put a pole up in the air and run a wire across that and then bring that energy down, store it into huge capacitor banks, and then there's yet even more electricity. So you got waterfalls that are producing energy, you got wind, you got rain, you got sunlight, you got... There's so many different ways to tap into what nature's already provided, and you don't have to trash the planet to do it. That's what I've been saying. I can't do it myself. I can do it on a small scale for my own personal needs, but in order for me to get that out for everybody else to enjoy, I throw my YouTube channel together and I show them these little ideas. And then somebody will come on there inevitably and say, "Wow, you can't run your house on that. That ain't going to work because you're putting in more energy than you're getting out the other side." But they totally missed the whole entire point. Especially with the hard drive motor. If you actually look down inside that hard drive motor and you see how very little copper wire is in there, and the magnet itself, and then you see how much voltage is coming up out of that thing when you spin it up to some serious RPMs, there's a good question that everybody should be asking. How come that's possible? You see what I mean? Imagine spinning a regular generator head up to like 50,000 RPMs. How high the voltage you could get. That's my point, man. It's not that we can't. We're not creating anything. We're just basically slapping the bee's nest and getting work out of the results. That's all we're doing. And so when people figure this out, when they finally get what I'm saying, then we'll get together, we'll work it out, we'll build devices that will use the laws of physics that we want to use, and we'll avoid the laws of physics that we don't want to use. It's as simple as that. That's why I like plasma technology. Because it takes a standard form of energy that comes from any generator head, and it changes that energy that's coming out of there into a completely different state of matter. Still energy, you haven't lost anything yet, and changes it completely away and pressurizes that chamber so that those electron flow can't make it back in there and the generator won't bog down. So, Worst case scenario, you build a device that you can plug into any gasoline generator and take that energy away from that generator instead of allowing it to go back into that generator. Then by definition and common sense, that generator should use less amount of fuel in order to run it. You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, everything's a boat. It's potential difference, right? Like you're saying, you got this, you got that, right? Let's keep something simple, right? If we look at how energy flows, right? If we take rain, right? That's the flow. Its particle would be the water drop. The potential difference would be the height. So the force would be gravitational. Do you acknowledge that? Comprehend that?
Well, either way, as the rain's falling down, even the beating of the rain produces its own frequency range by the water drops are not all falling at once.
Ooh.
And so, with that said...
You're talking about something bigger. The universe, the singing spheres now. When you're talking about all of the rain in the world and all of the waves, right? The umber... That's the consciousness, the anima, the mind, the soul. That's something much bigger than...
Well, doggone it, put you some sort of system together where you can tap into the energy of your own mind and soul and use it to charge your cell phone or your Walkman, man. All I'm saying is it doesn't matter. You're standing in front of a buffet of all different types of energy, and it's just... deciding on which one you want to use is the only problem. Building the device is the secondary issue that you have to get past, and the only way to get those devices built, if you don't have the skill set to do it by yourself, is to get out there and try to recruit the dream team. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to recruit the dream team. I'm trying to bring all the brilliant minds who believe it's possible together. And let's start making stuff.
Everybody is making everything around the world. Look, shit is.
Are they making it together?
Yes.
Seriously.
People are making it together. People are doing things together all over the world.
I am saying.
Right, look, a little over 100 years ago in this era, we only come up with the airplane. And now we have a phone that's in our hand. That can do amazing things. We are doing things together, but it isn't for humanity. It is for ourselves, vanity, right? It's all about ourselves. What we want, our egos, our beliefs. The middle letter of the belief is I.
Well, not here on this network. Here on this network, I care about somebody that needs a doggone roof over their head. I care about somebody who needs some food in their mouth. I care about somebody who's under the gun of the doggone power company that at any given time, taking the right notion, all they got to do is flip a switch and your lights go off. Your refrigerator goes off, your cooling or your heating goes off, and you're at the mercy. If you ain't got that almighty dollar to pay that electric man, then you ain't getting no power. No soup for you, mister.
But when does the mind actually flourish, and when does that person say, hey, I don't need them, right? If you walk off, if everybody walked off their plank, they would fall. We know that. We know that this whole thing of money is just about control, right? If we all said no, at one time and said no, we're not paying. We all live here for free. We're all native.
The whole concept of the Mad Science Channel and YouTube and Facebook is to prove to the world that you have an opportunity, you have choices, you have technology available to you, and if you overlook one little tiny piece of the puzzle, then you'll never put the machine together. It's as simple as that. You can take all of Tesla's technology out there, and you can put it on the table, but until somebody actually gets down there and builds it, researches it, measures it out, it ain't getting done. See, Tesla got smart there towards the end and started separating things, and there are technologies out there that are still available. But, like I said, in the wrong hands, it becomes a weapon. In the right hands, it frees humanity. So humanity has to decide. Are you going to let the ruling class elite or knuckleheads of the world tell you that something can't be done or it's too dangerous? Or are you going to gather together on masses and do exactly what that grasshopper feared of the ants and overrun them and do it yourself? That's it. It's as simple as that. You know, it's... I don't see it happening fast enough. I know that the world is waking up, all right? I know that people are out there researching. I know there are small pockets of people that are doing research and actually getting physical numbers and machines out of this deal. But as far as the overall picture of all of humanity, there's still somebody sitting in the dark. There's still somebody freezing who shouldn't be freezing. There's still somebody hungry that shouldn't be hungry. And we have the capabilities, and the capabilities are in everyone out there. That's it. Until everyone out there decides that the problem's big enough, you know, most folks don't look past their own backyard. And so if it ain't happening in my yard, it ain't happening. Well, if that's the way you choose to live, that's your life. But it's, you can't
truly
complain.
Right. See, it's only truly us that devours the energy that we need. Right? Birds don't eat energy. Dogs, cats, chickens, they feed themselves. We want this stuff. I want another TV. I want this. I want that. I want my shoes. I want my radio. I want my boots. I want my boats. I want my
regardless
guns.
Of all that, Justin, that bird is floating around on a sea of free energy. He doesn't stay aloft for nothing.
Right. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need a light bulb on either.
Well,
or a fishing pole.
And you're welcome to not have a light bulb on, but I choose to have a light bulb on. And I know there's other individuals out there who would like to have a light bulb on, but they can't seem to afford having a light bulb on. And if they do have a light bulb on, the time's limited according to their financial deal. Now, if this world is truly out there fighting over resources, when resources are so vast that there shouldn't be anybody doing without, then in my mind, that's ridiculous and there ain't no common sense. Because we should have everybody who needs something should be able to be supplied with what they needed. Okay, well, you know, you got to work for what you get. That's what they say. So until we get past this mentality, mankind is going to continue to spin their wheels in the mud, and we're still in the caveman day, and we're still using electricity. We're using nuclear radioactive crud to boil water. Makes a lot of sense. But you know, who am I to say? I'm just a guy with crazy hair and a lot of crazy ideas.
Well, everything we're doing is back to the caveman day, right? The Paleolithic times, right? The crystal, a stone that knocks on everything, whether it be mobile phone, smartphone, TV, computer, console, satellite, etc., right? An oscillator energy is stone, crystal. We've been using it for years and years and years. This is the fundamental thing that's in everything that we use electronically. Resonant, vibration, right?
All right.
So
all you
when I talk about that stuff, obelisks being huge telephones, that's what they truly are.
So all you have managed to do is verify that what I've been saying all along: energy is free. Period. You know, that's pretty much wrapping up the whole mad science show, because we got like 2 minutes to get out of here. But either way, it doesn't matter how you get it. Some people want it, some people don't want it. For those who do want it, or if those who do want to have lights and the luxuries that we have access to, air conditioning, heating, all that kind of stuff, then I say that we build the devices that these folks can use, and we share the designs with everybody and his brother. And it's like this: if you're a corporation and you're trying to sell a widget, you can't sell a widget if everyone already has a widget. And that's as simple as that. So I guess we must have lost Thomas. You got anything last to throw in there?
No, I'm good.
Thomas, you still there? Nope, he's gone. All right, everybody, you've been listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. The place to join in on the chat, superchat.html. That's where you get to talk to the Awake Radio side as well as the Shazizz Radio side. If you like this podcast, share it with somebody. If you like what we're trying to do, if you got an alternative researcher out there you want to promote, then send links and we'll put them on the site so everybody can see their work and basically network with one another. Do what we need to do to make this world a doggone better place. And if you can't find free electricity, you're simply not looking hard enough, plain and simple. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science. Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.